Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International on this lovely Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and we continue to read from the book, You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World. The topic that we look at this morning, Build Yourself a Palace in Paradise. Now this book, You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World, that is the title, but the lessons learned from there are for everyone. This book presents the route to happiness, drawing on Islamic teachings and the voices of experts as well. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're joined by Maulana Ibrahim Bam.
You can heal Yemen. 80% of the population are in desperate need of basic necessities. People are starving, as well as a lack of water and medical supplies. Africa Muslims Agency teams are on the ground to assist with your help. Feed a family for a month for only 1,450 rands. Your participation is urgently required. Donate online at africamuslimsagency.co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, inspiring the spirit of giving.
At AHK Motor Spares, we ride on service quality and price. We are open 7 days a week with locations nationwide and well-trained professionals. You can count on AHK Motor Spares every time and any time to get your vehicle back on the road fast. We stock spares for passenger vehicles, taxis and light commercial vehicles. So the next time you think of motor spares, think AHK, quality motor spares at affordable prices. Visit our Lanesia branch at 20 Anamone Street or call us on 011-854-6863.
Is your child rubbing his eyes or complaining of headaches, watery or itchy eyes? Eye care for kids begins at birth. At school, 80% of a child's learning is based on vision. When last has your child had their eyes screened? An eye test examines the internal and external structure of the eyes to coordinate care for hand-eye coordination in preschoolers, glaucoma, cataracts and retinal disorders, diabetes and hypertension. Trade Route Optical for a free vision screening. An excellent investment in your health. Two pairs of glasses for 699 Rand or buy one, get one free on selected frames. Trade Route Optical. Your eyes are our concern. Shop U2 next to FNB. 852-EYES-3937.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. We do have Maulana Ibrahim Bam with us in the studio this morning. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khairan for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and alhamdulillah, always nice to be in Radio Islam studios. With social distancing and keeping in mind and meeting all the people. Alhamdulillah, always good to meet our brothers, and I hope inshallah the community of Radio Islam and the listeners will also be well, inshallah.
Inshallah. Always good to have Maulana with us. How are you doing this week, Ma?
Allah has been very kind. Allah has been very kind. Allah Ta'ala continue His kindness. We hope that inshallah, by us making shukr to what Allah has granted us, Allah will grant us more of the same. As Allah says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show gratefulness to Allah, Allah Ta'ala will increase the favors that He has granted you.
Maulana, in the last few days, we've certainly seen, you know, the number of the coronavirus cases dropping, but certainly not a time to become complacent. Also, we've seen a number of people that have passed away, people in our community, family members, friends as well.
Yes, the COVID pandemic and virus continues causing distress to the life of many individuals and families in our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to those who are infected and those who are affected. This is a cause for great concern and needs to be taken seriously. Really, what has happened and what has transpired in front of our eyes, where we have seen our own family members, community members, some of whom have passed on, may Allah Ta'ala fill the qabr with nur, and some of them who have had serious illness, and we know that that illness is very different from other because it has an impact upon a person's physical self. Now, some advice on dealing with this. One is take precaution as advised by medical experts. And it is unfortunate that we have come into a situation where we feel that if you take precaution and you take the necessary means to protect yourself, it is regarded to be against conviction, against faith, against tawakkul. This is not the case. It has always been the sunnah of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that adoption of means is the doorway through which Allah ta'ala enforces His decision and His will. Obviously, after adoption of means, there is no guarantee that you will get the results for which the means have been adopted. There's no guarantee. We all know, for example, many people get married. They yearn and they desire for children. Despite efforts, they don't get children. So they have adopted the means, but the results is not guaranteed. But adopting the means is the right way for us, because it is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a sensible thing to do. It is a sensible. And to give this impression that you have adopted means to protect yourself, it is against tawakkul, this is not correct whatsoever. To give an example, our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every expedition, every decision of his was meticulously planned. If it was not a means, it was not necessary to adopt means, he wouldn't have put 50 archers on the Mount of Rumat. He would have just gone and said, Allah Ta'ala will help us. But he meticulously planned every expedition, every battle of his. To give a practical example, if for example we see a group of children playing with knives, or we see children next to a place of danger, would anyone take the view that what is destined to happen will happen? If what is written for them is going to happen, let them play with the knives. Let them play near the place of danger. No one will take that view. He will take the knives away from them. He will take them away from the place of danger. And this has got nothing to do that is against tawakkul, against belief in Allah. It is the natural thing and the correct thing to do that you adopt the means to protect yourself from harm and you adopt means to gain your risk or anything else. After adopting of means, this is very important. This is the beauty of our system. This is the beauty of our teachings. And this is a test. After the adoption of means which has come from the decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't rely upon the means, we rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We eat to satisfy our hunger, believing that food itself, without the permission of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not satisfy our hunger. We eat to give us the necessary means for survival, but that in itself will not help until it is with the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important thing which I normally tell people, stop arguments and disputes on this matter. It doesn't take us anywhere. It doesn't in any way bring us to a solution with regard to facing the pandemic. And one of the things is that COVID seems to have brought out the best and the most negative of human behavior. One can have differences. There's nothing wrong with having differences. But what is wrong is, and what is not acceptable is fitna, corruption and disunity. Disunity causes weakness, deprivation of blessings. It takes us away from Allah's help. It takes us away from the blessings of Allah. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ. Really, I feel that we had an ideal opportunity as a Muslim community in this country to provide thought leadership. But we lost that opportunity because of our infighting. Very important also is stop judging people in circumstances. Stop judging people in circumstances. I saw a post somewhere where there was a casting of aspersions to people who take their loved ones to hospital, giving the impression that they do so without any empathy and sympathy. Who are we to judge the circumstances and those people? Maybe the person was gasping for breath. He did not know whether they're going to live or not. And the family became very concerned and they took them to the hospital. Stop casting aspersions and judgments on people and their circumstances. You are not aware of their circumstances. And lastly, let me say, empathy, empathy and empathy. Be sympathetic. In this age, we need more sympathy. We don't need judgment. We don't need people, judging other people. What we need is sympathy, care, compassion. And this empathy and the state of being sympathetic, of being of a helpful nature, being warm-hearted, the state of being kind is one of those beloved qualities to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Aisha, Allah is gentle and He loves gentleness. He rewards for gentleness what He does not reward for harshness. And He does not reward for anything else like gentleness." This is something that we need to do. May Allah give us a tawfiq and these few words of the advisors.
Certainly very important points that Mulana has raised there. And I think that last one, just being sympathetic to people. It is a difficult time. I think everyone knows of someone that is affected or infected by the virus, and it's a real struggle for them. So just to be there for them. If you cannot visit them, then at least just a phone call or a message, or try and help the family in whichever way possible.
Exactly the point. Let's forget all other arguments and disputes and the judgments. Just be sympathetic. That is the way which has been taught to us by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Maulana, we continue with the book that we have been discussing over the last few weeks. You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World. And as we have mentioned before, that is the title of the book. But the lessons that are learned from there is for everyone. Beautiful lessons that can be learned from this book. And we continue with the next part of the book, which is titled Build Yourself a Palace in Paradise.
Yes, so much so true. Look, you know, and the author says, look at how many generations have passed on. Did they take their wealth with them? Did they take their palaces and their high status? Were they buried with their gold and silver? Did they take their cars and planes with them to the year after? No, they were even stripped of their clothing and placed in the qabr, in their coffins. And then each of them was asked, Mar Rabbuka, who is your Lord, who is your Prophet, and what do you say with regard to your Madinuka, Mar Rabbuka, and what do you say with regard to your Prophet? So prepare yourself for that day, and that's a reality. We can't run away from that reality. Some people die young, some people die old. No one dies but at his appointed time. Therefore, when you see many a times letters of condolences and people say untimely death, it's not actually true. And we can understand the sentiments behind why people normally make mention of that. But for a believer, that is not correct. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the time comes for your death, the time comes for your time, it is not brought forward a moment, it is not delayed a moment, it comes at its exact time. And no one takes anything. There's a very interesting, you know, incident that is made mention. Many ulama have made mention of it in their talks. And if you do a Google search with regard to it, you will find it. It is about Alexandra the Great. Now, Alexandra the Great conquered much of the known world. And he was on his way back to Greece, his birthplace and his place of residence, and hoping that when he comes back, he will be given a hero's welcome. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined otherwise. And, you know, he was ill, and he realized that he's not going to make it. You know, he was very, very ill. And he said, if only I could have given whatever I have, you know, to get back to my home place where I would have been fated. I would have been congratulated. And what I would have been given, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined, he's not going to be able to do that. So this is the situation. So he said, he made wasiat for three things. And the three things was that the doctors must carry his coffin or his janazah. And the second one is that the wealth of his must be scattered on the pathway leading to the grave. And his third thing was his hand should be set open in front of people. No, it mustn't be part of the shroud. So people were quite surprised. Now, what exactly is it? And someone asked him, why are you making wasiyat for these three things? So he said that I want the doctors to carry my janazah to show people that they were not able to save my life. Secondly, that I showed people and my part of my wealth should be scattered to show people that I'm not taking anything. It's here in the world. And if someone ever had a doubt that maybe it was in the hands that I carried something in my coffin or I carried something in my hand, I'm going empty-handed. So that's the reality. We're all going to go without anything of ours. The only thing we will take is our good deeds. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whosoever does righteous deeds and he is a believer, Allah Ta'ala will grant him pious and a very pakiza and a very pure life in this world, and Allah Ta'ala will reward him for the good that he has done in the year after. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. And as I said, you see, one of the things that we do realize that death is a reality. It's a reality. We all know it's a reality. And after being a reality, we still like our life. This is a non-natural thing. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited and made mention of the hadith, "Man ahabba liqa' Allah," whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala made us this question, "Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean? You love to meet Allah." She said, "No one likes to die." Now that is in the Mubarak era of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No one likes to die. What is the meaning of this? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to explain and say that when before you leave this world, Allah Ta'ala shows you abode in Jannah. That time, the person loves to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's not in the normal take when, you know, if there was no aspect of preserving your life, then why do people wear warm clothes when they go out in winter? Why do they insulate themselves? Why do they take medication when they're feeling pain? Why do they not be reckless in their driving? Why do they not be stand in front of a car and said, "If my time is up, if my time is up, let me wherever I can walk, I can drive how I want." You take your normal precaution because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has told us. Allah Taala has told us to preserve life. Allah Taala has told us to value life. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that every good that will come upon you is because of this life. There is a dua of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu which has been recommended to read, especially in these times. Bismillah khair al-asma, bismillah iladhi la yadhuru ma'ismi adhan, bismillah al-kafi, bismillah iladhi la yadhuru. In there is also bismillahi ala nafsi wa dini. Right? That's the dua of Anas. Oh Allah, I seek your protection with regard to my life and my deen. And this is also very interesting. Without your life, you can't practice upon deen. Mm. Without your life, you can't gain rewards. Without your life in this world, you can't gain Jannah. Right. So life becomes very valuable because it's a means of every good. It's a means of you doing good to your family. It's a means of you doing good to your children. It's a means of you as a husband, as a bread provider, providing for them. So everything, it comes from this life. Every good that comes, even Jannah will come from this life. It's not going to come from, you can't gain Jannah after you die. Mm. Jannah has already been made while you are alive. So this life is very, very valuable. It is for us to value it. And part of this is this aspect of preserving your life, protecting your life so that you can do good in this life. Normally many of our times when our ulama, when we ask them for dua, and when person is sick, when you say, Allah Ta'ala give you a long life with afiyat, health and good deeds. Now if life was not a ni'mat, why are people make such duas? Why is it? It is a ni'mat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Malana, this is an interactive program and we always like to hear from the listeners. The WhatsApp number 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Malana, what type of interaction would we be expecting from
the listeners? No, anything. How do you make your life more valuable? If anyone wants to bring up anything that I've made mention about the advisors on the COVID, by all means, they can do so. At the end of the day, I mean, see, it was uncharted territory when this thing happened. I mean, I don't think anyone would have expected what had happened has happened. No one would have thought that flights would have been suspended and there'll be no borders will be closed. You can't go anywhere. No, that's sometimes difficult upon people like me, you know. Yeah, but whatever it is, you know, there would be lockdown for such a long period of time, all of these things. But we had to charter a way through it. And may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. I suppose initially when the numbers were not high, we didn't see it happening in front of us, our communities. Maybe there was a degree of apprehension in accepting it, in believing it. But all of a sudden, you do see that there are things that are happening. And there is a sense of apprehension, which is natural. And there's nothing wrong in having that fear. It's a natural fear. People do have that fear. But at the end of the day, let us also be confident. Let us not be paranoid. You can't go and now sit in complete isolation.
Right.
You go and do whatever you need to do. As the medical experts tell us, we do believe. I mean, see, at the end of the day, we are supposed to, from our Sharia, we have been told to ask experts and do something. Now, if they do tell you that go and, you know, do your whatever you need to do with regard to something, with the necessary protocols, we adhere to those protocols and we leave it in the hands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't mean that you adhere to the protocols, you will be safe. I mean, we've seen doctors. I mean, they do adhere to the protocols. And may Allah Ta'ala, they are in the front line. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. I mean, I've just been hearing so many great things about Dr. Feroz Bam, who passed on, and other doctors who have passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have passed on, Allah Ta'ala fill their qabr with nur. You know, they were in the forefront, and they were at risk. They were more vulnerable than others. But yet at the same time, they continue their functions. So let us get the right balance, and we hope, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone.
Inshallah. 9:30 on the social program with Mawlana Ibrahim Bam. We take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue. You are listening to the social program with Mawlana Ibrahim Bam, and we are discussing from the book, You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World, Build Yourself a Palace in Paradise. That is the topic that we're looking at this morning. And Mawlana, as you mentioned, that this life is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we use the life of this world to prepare or to build our akhirah.
Yes, no doubt whatsoever. That's what it is. And that is why in the next chapter, the author has also spoke about, do not destroy your heart and your deen with your own hands. Avoid everything that wastes time. Our time is valuable not only because we can gain dunya. Now, there's a very familiar, you know, this the one that is there, that time is they say time is money, right? Now, right. It's perhaps correct that if you utilize time correctly, you might be able to build wealth. But at the same time, it tells us about a misplaced sense of priority. It gives the impression that the only time that is valuable, if it is done by you, you know, accumulating wealth.
Right.
Time is not money. Time is more important than money. Time is entire. Our time is life. And in this particular regard, we have to value the time, because the time is the one that is makes our world more productive. It makes our akhirat more productive. So stop wasting time. And someone has, you know, humorously said that if time is money and I got time, then where is the money? You know, so it's something that we have to keep this in mind, and hopefully we are waiting. If any listeners have got any suggestions, you've got the messages. Have you given the numbers for that?
So the WhatsApp number is 0727861548. To anyone that would like to interact with us via WhatsApp, the lines are also open. Our engineer is standing by to take those calls on 011-854-1548. One message that has come through here saying, Jazakumullah khairan for the lovely program. Mawlana, you did speak about making dua for afiyah. Could Mawlana please elaborate on that? Is it fine to give such duas to persons or to children, to family, to say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all with afiyah?
Very important. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and said, Ya Rasulullah, I am your uncle, give me some, you know, dua that will be special, you know. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him this, make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya fi dini wa dunya wa ahli wa mali. So something like this, to the effect in the narration, that he said, Ya Rasulullah, that is something like a common dua. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, oh my uncle, there is nothing better than a person can ask from Almighty Allah than afiyah. So this is the situation. There is nothing better. Afiyat means a calmness in our life, a peaceful life, a life free of anxiety, anxiousness, and aspects of worry, etc. So in fact, amongst the du'as that you will find in the morning du'as, we are told to read this particular du'a, we are told to read three times. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. So it is something that we are supposed to read, and to make that du'a for ourselves, our children, and for the people whom we love is not only perfectly permissible, it is the right thing to do, and it is most appropriate.
Before we continue, just one more message that has come through here saying that Jazakumullah for the lovely program. In the beginning, I wasn't really taking this virus seriously. It was only when me and my family had the virus and we realized how serious it was. Alhamdulillah, we all recovered and we got through it. And now we know what is going on. Speaking about this topic also, I'd just like to add that my favorite dua is the dua of Asiya. radiallahu anha, when she said, build me a house in paradise.
Subhanallah. And we did that program, you know, here for, previously during the beginning of this book. Jazakallah. And I think what is also, it's sometimes we only look upon it in terms of the mortality rate, the death, but also we don't take into account the sickness and the illness. It is something that is quite serious, and the illness is not the way sometimes people say this is like an ordinary flu. It is perhaps more, it has more symptoms and more severe symptoms than just an ordinary flu. You know, the people who are, I've got family members who have been struggling to breathe, and they can't even string few sentences together. You know, they are on oxygen. And ask those who are in oxygen how they is. I remember one person telling me that, and I asked him, how was your experience? So he told me an amazing thing. He said it was like drowning on land. Mm. And that was such a touching way of putting it forward. So it is there. So therefore, take the necessary precaution, because it's not only about the mortality rate, it's also about the pain, the suffering. And if you can avoid it, not there's any guarantee that you can avoid it, but if there are measures that you can take to avoid it, by all means, you should try and do that.
We do have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Gee, you live on here?
Yes, I'm speaking from North Coast. I want to ask Maulana, abhi bahut hi mayat ho rahi hai. So, ye likha tha, you know, that people say, you know, मौत नो वक्त लग गया है तो मैयत मौत आवे तो ना सोमनी मैयत नाउ इट वाज प्रीडेस्टिन्ड.
Yeah, all right, Jazakallah. I will deal with that. Yes.
One more. So in Beirut, so somebody died all of a sudden. All that was written by Allah Taala. Abhi waqt ho gaya hai.
Ji, Jazakallah. There is no doubt whatsoever, Jazakallah, for that. I mean, there is no doubt whatsoever. Whatever is, whoever dies, does not die an untimely death. He dies on the time appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recited the ayat in the beginning, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَةَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, that when a time comes, it is not delayed a moment, it is not brought forward a moment. And that is a reality. We do believe in it. But it doesn't mean that because death is written, the thing is, we don't know what time is our death. We don't know when Allah Ta'ala has destined our death. And this is the situation. You know, Malikul Maut, when he was given the task of taking people's life, he complained to Almighty Allah that Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, the people are going to hate me because I'll be taking away their beloveds. I'll be taking the lives of people who are very close to them. And Allah Ta'ala said, don't worry. No one is going to refer it to you. People will refer it to the means. He died of a heart attack. He died of this. He died of that. He died of an accident. After saying that life is predetermined, doesn't mean that you don't value your life. No one will stand in front of a moving car and said, my life is predestined. If it is supposed to happen, it will happen. If it was supposed to knock me, it will knock me. If it's not supposed to knock me, it won't knock me. No one will go play Russian roulette with regard to life. You know, and you know, we all know with regard to what Russian roulette it is. And for those who don't know, should do a Google search what Russian roulette is. No one plays Russian roulette with life because mort is predetermined. You don't do that. You preserve your life. It is part of our deen to preserve life. And it is part of how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam has taught us. And of course, after preserving it and taking them means, you take medication. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to take medication. And there is, in Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, has made mention, and he said that if everything is predestined, why should I take medicine? He said, take medicine because through what you're taking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enforce his will and his decision. Like for example, you'll take a panado. Panado, when it goes down into the stomach, will first ask Allah, and Allah ta'ala will guide, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will determine and make the decision whether it must get impact or not. And just to give an example with regard to this, you know, you can go and make dua till the cows come home. Or in another way, you can go make dua till you can go and sing Sari Mare the way they say in Nanda. And you don't get married, then Allah won't grant you children.
Right.
You can go and make dua from morning till evening. Allah grant me children. Go grant me children. You don't get married. Where is Allah going to grant you children from?
That's so true. A few more messages that have come through. I see most of them with regards to the topic that we touched earlier on, the people that have been infected or affected by the virus. One saying that I could not agree more with the fact that you need the support of family when you have been affected by the virus. My husband is just recovering after 22 days, alhamdulillah. We have him on oxygen at home, but he is improving. But we found that the support from family, friends, neighbors, and the community at large made all the difference. It just took one phone call that gave us the hope to carry on.
And that is so important. Obviously, there are protocols in place, for example, and the people, and this is one of the things, you know, it's so sad, it's so tragic that, you know, normally when a person is sick in hospital, you go and see him, he looks forward to the visiting hours, right? So that, you know, that during this 1 hour, I'll get the people who will come and see me, they'll bolster me, they will give me some sort of support, they will boost my morale, they will boost my confidence. Here, there isn't anything like that because of the protocols. Now, it's so important that we find alternative ways to be able to do it. Right. Obviously, I mean, I would agree with those people that as far as possible, don't send the people to the hospital because it's difficult. But what do you do? That's why I said in the beginning that don't pass judgment. You don't know what was the reason why people had to do it. If you see your loved one is gasping for breath, he can't breathe. He's now, you know, almost like, you know, he's in a very difficult situation. And then there are situations. I mean, I just saw an IMA post that says that every time oxygen, the tanks don't work. It has to be done under supervision. It has to be done under, you know, medical supervision and medical guidelines. Sometimes it's good for certain people. It's not good for certain people. And sometimes there have to be a higher dosage of it, which has to be done under supervision in a clinic. But all I'm saying is that don't pass judgment. Yes, try to be and try to tell the doctor as far as possible. We would like to do it at home because it is more dignified. We will be able to give support. There will be some form of family interaction. But once you're in the hospital, becomes difficult. But even if in that situation, there are people who are in hospital. I have a cousin who is in hospital every day or so. I just make a 1 minute call every second day. It makes a big difference. Obviously, it will make a big difference. Mm. So let's make dua to everyone and just let us stop passing judgment on people. I just seem to be in such situations where there's a last thing that we need.
Moan, there's this one listener here that has said that earlier on you spoke about dua. And so on, we've heard that at times dua can change one's takdir. Does this apply also to making dua for a long life in time of death and so on?
Ulama have made mention with regard to that. There are two things. One is takdir that is written, and one is the decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not bound to anything. Allah is completely, you know, free. And this is the beauty of and it works to our advantage of humanity. Our ulama have made mention, like for example, here in this world, if you want to forgive a criminal, there is a process, right? If a president forgives someone, right, he has to justify why he forgave a criminal. There are countries in the world where a president has got the right to be able to free or pardon someone. Pardon. I remember when we were studying in Pakistan, when Bhutto's was sentenced to death. Now, right or wrong, I'm not going to go into that. The last instance was that there must be a plea for mercy to the president of the country. Right? So he had the right. But if in this world, if anyone is to pardon someone, he has to give a justification. I pardon him because of this and this. Allah doesn't need a justification to pardon anyone. Allah doesn't need a justification, and that it works to our advantage. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. If Allah wants to pardon us and we make dua Allah, Allahu maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhanbi, oh Allah, your maghfirat is far more greater than our guna. And if Allah wants to pardon, Allah Ta'ala can pardon anyone. You know? So if Allah Ta'ala is free, so Allah Ta'ala is not bound to what has been written. Like for example, it is said that when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj, at a particular place, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sariful Aqlam, heard the pens of the angels writing destiny. Allah is not bound by that. Right? Allah Ta'ala, if he wants, can go. And that our ulama have made mention that sometimes there are situations where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his knowledge, has this, that this is what was written for a person. He made dua and I accepted his dua, and it overcame even what was written. So it is possible.
One last message I'll just share with Maulana saying here on the whole taking precautions, and that is part of our tawakkul. Listener saying that not taking preventative measures in times of danger is not bravery, but negligence, Maulana.
It's recklessness. Yeah, really, I don't think so. I mean, see, if a person knows that it is cold, he doesn't go out with a jacket. A person goes out and he drives recklessly. You know, I know of ulama, people have been telling me with regard to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, used to be very, very severe with regard to people driving according to the norms and laws. If anyone goes, you know, I remember someone telling me one incident that he was driving with Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi Ali, and when he was driving with him, he was busy, you know, with something in the car. You know, he was busy with his cassette player or something. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi Ali told him, stop. He said, now do what you are doing. Finish it up. Now you finished. He said, now concentrate on your driving. So this is a situation. It doesn't mean that because things are destined and predestined and is taqdeer, you become reckless. And I agree with that particular caller, the listener who had said that not to take precaution would be recklessness.
Now, Mohan, you mentioned that story of a person driving with Hazrat Ji. And I remember one of our satira had also told us that when a person is driving, he once was a person in the car, and they had that finger tasbih, you know, yeah. They were making dhikr, yeah. And he told him, no, this is not the time to make your dhikr, now concentrate on the road, mm-hmm. And then you can finish your dhikr and your azkar later. We do have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're live on air.
I just appear a message. He talks about responsibility and common sense. Both are gifted from him.
Just repeat that. I didn't get that.
Concerning matters, Molana, if something happens to you, anything, I come off. It's not so.
Yeah.
More responsibilities and common sense.
Definitely. I mean, there are so many examples that Allah Ta'ala uses means to enforce His decision. Allah Ta'ala can, for example, bring someone to life. Allah Ta'ala can bring someone to life without the meeting of male and female. Allah has got the kudrat. Allah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, was born in that way. Hazrat Adam and Hawa were born in that way without intimacy. Right? So it this is something that can happen. Allah has got the qudrat. But how many times this has happened in the entire history of humankind? Huh? 3 times? And all other lives that have come in.
Right.
So no one says that I got married and because I've got married, Allah Ta'ala will grant me children. I don't have to do anything. You know, you have to go through a process. You know, and Allah has made that particular process in a way that is desirable, right? But at the end of the day, it is through that process Allah Ta'ala grants. So Allah Ta'ala uses means to enforce His decisions. So Allah Ta'ala also, for example, you are sick, you can sit in the bed and Allah Ta'ala can grant you shifa. But when you normally go to a doctor, then you take a medication, then Allah Ta'ala grants you shifa. And that is a beauty, that you take the means, but after taking the means, you make dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, we have taken this means because you have told us to adopt means. Oh Allah, we have taken this medication because the doctors say that it is something that we are supposed to do. Oh Allah, we are going through this procedure because the medical experts have said we need to go to this procedure to cure an ailment that we have, to remove some obstacle or to do something. We all go through it. As far as our own personal health is concerned, then we adopt the means. But then all of a sudden, we sometimes take this whole particular aspect that those who are taking means and adopting means in this particular regard, they don't have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why are you adopting means when you are sick?
That's so true. To the listeners, you can still interact with us, 072-786-1548. That is the WhatsApp number. Share your messages with us. And the lines are still open as well on 011-854-1548. Mariah, you can continue.
Yes, and another aspect with regard to it, and maybe it's also tying up, because build yourself a palace in paradise and do not destroy your heart with your hands, because what is going to happen in the year after depends what you are going to do. Now, when we say that, you know, after our life we're going to go on, it's going to be another phase of existence. Normally, I tell people when they pass on, and I've read this from our ulama, that when someone passes on, it's a natural thing to feel grief. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried when his near and dear ones passed on. Huh? When his son Ibrahim was passing on, he was in the last stages of his life. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Ibrahim, inna li firakika la mahzunun. Oh Ibrahim, we are saddened by your departure. Innal aina tadma. Our eyes are tearing, our heart is sad, but with our tongue we will not say anything that is goes against the command of Almighty Allah or showing displeasure with the decision of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a natural thing to feel that. But you see, why we need, and when people die, they, you know, I normally tell the people that as much as you feel grief, which is a natural thing, try to think of it in this way, that they have not gone completely obliterated. They are not destroyed. They have gone from one phase of existence to another phase of existence. They have gone from, to put it in worldly terms, in physical terms, they have gone from one room to another room. So they've gone from one room to another room. You can't see them. Now see, for example, when you are young, you know, your parents go and they, in a house, the parents or the brothers and sisters go into the room and they close the door. You don't see them for that period of time till they come emerge the next morning, right? So when they are in that room, do you feel sad? No, they. I don't feel sad. They are there. I'll see them. Now if they've passed on, it's like that. They are there. It's just that they are gone somewhere and I will see them, inshallah, in Jannah. Right? So they are there. It's just like someone who has gone into a room and closed the door and they will emerge after a time. So anyone who has passed on is in a similar manner, has gone from one phase of existence to another phase of existence. And in this particular regard, you know, because the year after has to be there. It's not only a part of our belief, it's also a logical necessity. And there are two things. Let me make mention of it before the stuff. What is the logical necessity of the year after? Why there must be a year after? Right. Firstly, we know that our life is nothing more than a dream. Is short-lived. Childhood is a period of dependence and constraint. Now, youth, which heralds the joy of living, is temporary. Right. But it also brings about a host of cares, worries, and responsibilities. So when you're young, yes, it's beautiful. It's nice. You know, you always, even those people who are old, they think about the days of youth. Hey, you know, if only I can get there. There was a marhum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannah, Ibrahim Mia. They used to call him Saj. You know, we used to play tennis together. So many a times when he used to be old, you know, now you can't run around and move around so much in the tennis court. And Allah ta'ala, you know, even now recently, Kasim Bhai Kara passed away. We used to play tennis together and, you know, we used to have a partnership and we used to somehow or the other in that partnership do well. Maybe we were not good individual players, but as a partnership. And whenever I used to meet him, he'd say, hallmark. That was his way. He used to say hallmark. Mm. That the hallmark of our tennis was we were in partners with one another and we used to play. So the Saj used to say that when he used to go to a ball and he couldn't get there, he said the brain was there but the body wasn't there. I wanted to go and return it, but the body didn't give with it. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that when you are old, you're always thinking about youth. But youth got its own challenges. You are trying to establish yourself in life. You are trying to make your life. You are trying to make your career. Then, of course, we come with regard to old age. Old age grips you with worries and responsibility, aches and afflictions. You know, all different types of things that happen to you in old age. A person went to a doctor and he said, my head is paining and I've got headaches. So he said, well, you've got old now, these things happen. And then he said, my knee is paining. He said, well, that is also part and parcel. Now, you know, there is wear and tear. What do you expect? Your knee is not going to be like when you are 30 years. Now you're 70 years, 60, 70. Your knees are going to pain. He said, doctor, but, you know, I'm also sometimes finding it difficult to digest my food. You know, I got indigestion. Doctor said, well, that's normal now, you're old age. So he got very angry at the doctor. He said, I didn't come here to come. You tell me with regard to my age. You come here to tell me our age. I came to tell you, you're a doctor. You are supposed to give me some relief and some sort of medication. Right. So he got very angry and he shouted at the doctor. And the doctor said, that is also old age. So now in the end, he dies. Mm. How long did he live? If he lived for 80 years, we say he had a good innings. Mm. Now, this is in short is the entire life of a person. Now, can we ever say that particular short life is so important that the entire creation was created for that 50, 60 years of your life? Mm. Allah Ta'ala has created the entire universe for the human beings. Did Allah Ta'ala create that entire universe for your 60, 70 years? There has to be another age. There has to be another life. There has to be another existence. Our short life in this world is a reason why there has to be another existence. Mm. You can't, you know, Allah Ta'ala hasn't created the entire universe for 60, 70 years of a person's life.
Right.
Allah Ta'ala has created us for eternity. This 70, 80 years is a sowing ground for what is going to happen after we pass on. And then, of course, another beautiful, example with regard to Allah Ta'ala in the 24th surah of the Holy Quran says, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْعَمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَالَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَلَا الْمُسِيحِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah has used this theme in different ways in the Holy Quran. Does a person who has iman and righteous deeds, is he like the one who commits guna and sin and does corruption in the earth? They're not equal. أَمْ نَجْعَلُوا الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Is a muttaqi like a fajr? Is a person who fears Allah like one who transgresses the law of Almighty Allah? No, they're not equal. Now, if they are not equal, and in this world you are seeing that a person who is doing corruption, he's got a mighty palace. He's living in the northern suburbs. Now, I'm not saying all in the northern suburbs have got their wealth with corruption. But I'm saying he's living now in a smart, beautiful villa and everything. But he's hit people down, he has deceived people, he has earned haram money, and he's living in a life of apparent luxury. I say apparent luxury because I personally believe that those who do wrong and they do people down, it bothers their consciousness to such an extent they never ever get a life that is free from worry. Right, it's all the time. Hey, when is the police going to knock on my door? You know, I did this person down. When I'm going to get caught, etc. That's a different matter. But apparently, they're living a life of luxury. People do wrong, and they're still living, you know, a beautiful life. And then you get a person who is struggling to make his ends meet, and he is pabund with salat. He is performing his deeds correctly. He is doing his utmost to stay away from guna. And he has the difficulty and, you know, he doesn't have enough money to pay his rent, or he doesn't have enough money to buy the medication for his children. His children are sick, but he doesn't have. But yet he somehow or the other makes his ends meet, and he has difficulty. And then you say, Ya Allah, you said that you are just. Ya Allah, you said you are Sari'ul Hisab. You have made mention of it. But this man is living a life of fisk. And look at his life. And this man is living a life of obedience. And look at his life. So Allah Ta'ala says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you think about it? If you think about it, you will say, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The day has to come in which people will be recompensed according to what they have done. So if Allah Ta'ala's justice is not in this world, because this is Darul Amal, Allah Ta'ala's justice and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's recompense and Sari'ul Hisab is after we have passed on in the next phase of our existence.
We've come to the end of the program this morning. Jazakumullah khairan so much for joining us and sharing with us those advices. I think some pertinent points were mentioned. To those that tune in a bit later, the podcast of the program will be available on our SoundCloud, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.